found a blockage in my heart at the test. So the 2nd of January, I'm going to go to a cardiologist in Springfield. We're going to see what we can find out. So if I collapse up here, just call 911. Judy and I have to share this. I don't have to, but I want to. We went to Golden Corral Friday night for our 34th wedding anniversary supper. I ate steak. I was told I wasn't supposed to. I've been doing that all my life. But there was a couple at the table next to us, young couple, and his wife was very pregnant. She got up to go to the bathroom. She walked like Fred Sanford. I got tickled at her. You know, had that old waddle walk. And she come back and sit down, and I didn't mean to stare at him, but I couldn't help it. And she had got this chocolate mousse. And she come back and sit down, and she was talking to her husband. And all of a sudden, she started petting him. And I couldn't hear what they were saying, didn't want to hear. But she started feeding him that mousse and petting him and talking to him. And I thought, you better enjoy that now, buddy. Because my first thought was, when she goes into labor, you don't want her to have any kind of utensils in her hands and you be close to her. But, you know, it's kind of funny how Judy and I don't pet each other out in public, or she doesn't offer to feed me. She doesn't even get me a plate anymore. But, you know, I thought it was cute, but I thought, you better enjoy it while it lasts, Hoss, because it'll get to where you'll sit on opposite sides of the table to keep from hitting elbows when you're eating. This morning, of course, we're here to talk about the Christ child. And our text is going to be out of Luke chapter 2, verses 1 through 11. A very familiar text. In fact, it's the Christmas story text. It's the preferred text to read from, to preach from in the church on this day. A lot of people argue that Jesus wasn't born on December 25th, and that was a Roman holiday, the winter solstice, so it's a pagan festival, and we shouldn't celebrate on December 25th. I don't care. We're celebrating the birth of Jesus Christ. If we want to do it on the 4th of July, I'm fine with that. But this is the time that Christians come together. Who cares if it was a pagan holiday? It's not here. We're not here worshiping a pagan God. We're here to worship the Lord Jesus Christ. And this is the day we honor His birth. And I want to talk a little bit about His birth this morning. It says, in those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. This was the first census that took place while Quirinius was governor of Syria. And everyone went to his own town to register. So Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him, and was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born. And she gave birth to her firstborn son. She wrapped him in cloths and laid him in cloths and placed him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone round them, and they were afraid. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord." Father, I thank you so much that your word accomplishes what you send it out to do. And I ask that you will have your way in this congregation, in this service this morning. I thank you for the gift of your son. And Lord, as we read this text and speak on it, I just ask that I might decrease, that you may increase, and that you will speak to our hearts. I thank you for all of this in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to focus on verse 11. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. That's quite a remarkable statement when you consider the whole story of the gospel. The first thing I want to mention or point out is it says a Savior has been born. Sometimes I wonder why God didn't have more of a spectacular appearing of Jesus the first time. If you think about it, if the heavens would have split open and Jesus would have came to earth on the clouds with a hallelujah chorus singing behind him, I'm sure there would not have been anybody that would want to nail him to a cross or question who he was. But God didn't choose to do things that way. The angel simply said a Savior has been born. So he didn't come in a blaze of glory. He's the promised offspring we read of in Genesis when the man and woman fell. And God said to the serpent, I will put enmity between you and the woman and between your offspring and hers. He will crush your head and you will strike his heel. That's the offspring God promised all the way back in Eden. And for centuries, men wondered how this was going to happen. The prophets talked about it. Men speculated. In fact, by the time Jesus arrived, they had so many different versions of how they thought Messiah was going to come that for most of them, it was impossible for them to believe that God would send his son, born of a poor carpenter and his wife. But he's the promised offspring that God promised. He told Abraham, through your offspring, all the nations of the earth will be blessed. And the Apostle Paul pointed out that this offspring was not many but one, and that was Christ. So God fulfilled his promise that he made all the way back in the garden with the birth of Jesus Christ. That's why the angels sang. You know, we've been watching The Christmas Experience by Kyle Idleman. And something that you see in there that you really can pick up on is for 400 years, God had been silent. There wasn't any message, any prophecies. And in fact, he told one prophet, there's coming a time there's going to be a famine in the land, and it won't be for food or water, it'll be for the word of the Lord. And the scholars call this the 400 silent years between Malachi and Matthew when God just shut up. And there was no prophecy, there was no visions, there was no revelations. And then everything around the birth of Christ, everything just started happening again. Zechariah had an angel appear to him. Mary had an angel appear to her. Joseph saw an angel in a dream telling him these wonderful things that God was going to do. And yet, he didn't announce it to the whole town. He didn't speak on a loudspeaker. He didn't speak from a mountaintop in fire and smoke as he did with the law of Moses. It was very quiet. Jesus came, in a sense, in a very unassuming manner, born to poor parents. But the Bible says when the time had fully come, God sent his son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those under the curse of the law, that we might receive the rights as sons. And because we are sons, God has sent the Spirit of his Son into our hearts, the Spirit who calls out, Abba, Father. Under the law, we couldn't do that. Under the law, no one was justified in God's sight. That still bothers me when people tell me, well, I believe in Jesus, and I'm going to try to live the best life I can and just do good, and I'll get into God's heaven. And the Bible says, by the works of the law, no one will be justified. You can't keep the Ten Commandments. Nobody's ever kept them except Jesus. You can't keep the Beatitudes. No one's ever kept that except Jesus. And God, being the just God he is, sin came into the world through a man, and judgment came upon all, even those who didn't sin the way Adam did. Adam broke a command. The Bible says he transgressed a known law. That's the definition of sin, is a willful transgression of a known commandment. So Adam willfully transgressed God's law, which was do not eat off that tree, and judgment and death came upon all people because of his sin, even on those who didn't sin the same way Adam did. And God in his justice said sin came through a man, redemption has to come through a man. And the Bible says that even though he was in very nature God, he humbled himself and became a servant. So God sent his son into the world, it says, when the right time came. He was born of a woman born under the law. This is what the people rejoiced about. The poor shepherds that the angel appeared to understood. The angel said, this is Mashiach. This is the Lord. And the shepherds understood the prophecies were fulfilled. And when they left the manger, it says they went out and told everybody what they'd been told. And people were wondering what this was going to mean. The angel says he is the Savior. To you a Savior has been born. Why? Because we need a Savior. Everyone needs to be saved. There's nobody's going to ride into heaven on the coattails of their grandparents or their parents, or is going to get in there because they're good people or just because they believe in God. The Bible says even the demons believe in Him and they tremble. God, the Bible says, was appalled when He looked at mankind. There was no one to intervene for them. So by His own righteousness, He sustained it. And God provided salvation by His own power because we couldn't do it. That's love. How can you not trust a God like that? A God who loves you so much that even though you're the one that broke His covenant, even though you're the one that made yourself His enemy, He said, I'm going to meet the terms of peace, and that's through the death of My Son. Why did God choose to be born as a baby and to grow up in this world and to live among us for 33 years? He ate, He slept, He got tired, He worked. He put up with all the temptations that you and I have put up with. He knew disappointment. He knew frustration. Why did God choose to do things that way? Well, the Bible says because the children are flesh and blood, He too partook of the same. So that way He's a faithful high priest. Do you know that Jesus Christ is on the right hand of the Father praying for you right now? The Bible says He lives to intercede for us. Intercede means He stands in our defense. He pleads our cause to the Father. When you're down and you need strength, He's praying, Father, strengthen them, like He did for Peter. I love that passage before He goes to the cross. He said, Peter, Satan has asked for you so he can sift you like wheat, but I've prayed for you that your faith doesn't fail. He didn't say, I prayed and said, don't let it happen. He didn't say, I told Satan, you can't sift him. He said, I prayed for you so your faith wouldn't fail. That's why God became a man, to experience our humanity, because He knows exactly how we feel. And nobody but Jesus could understand at the moment that peril that Peter was in and could empathize with him like that. Jesus had done battle with the devil. The devil tried to sift him like wheat, and it didn't work. But He knew that in their low time of Him going to the cross, there was a good chance Peter was going to fall away. Jesus knew that, and He said, man, I'm praying for you, Peter. So God had to become a man, and God came as our Savior. Isaiah said He was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was upon Him, and by His wounds we are healed. We all like sheep have gone astray. Each of us has turned to his own way, and the Lord has laid on Him the iniquity of us all. He came as a Savior. The angels rejoice. Jesus said the angels in heaven rejoice when a sinner repents. I don't know why that means so much to the angels, but evidently it does. And that's why these angels sang on this night when they announced the birth of the Savior. This to them was something to praise God for, because they knew that God was abruptly going to change forever the history of mankind. And He was sending a Savior to those who would receive Him and follow Him. Very important. The Bible talks about believing in Jesus. I'm going to tell you something that the Holy Spirit has shown me. There are a lot of believers in this world in Jesus Christ. Millions of believers. Very few disciples. Comparatively in number. Very few disciples. The demons believe in Jesus Christ. The Bible says they tremble in fear. Satan believes in Him. Satan is scared of Him. So scared, the Bible says that he understands he only has a little bit of time left on this earth. So he's out in his rage trying to get everybody in that he can. But he can't touch Christ. And he fears Him. But Satan's not going to heaven. because Satan has not submitted to the lordship of Jesus Christ. And millions of people that say, I believe in Jesus and call Him Lord, will not enter the kingdom of heaven because He has not transformed their lives. They have not surrendered themselves to His lordship. They call Him Savior, but not Lord. Big difference. God looks at man and says, you are lost. You cannot come into my presence. You cannot come into my heaven. You cannot come into a relationship with me except through my Son. And He sends His Son. And the angels rejoiced in heaven and said, a Savior has been born. And the message is, He has been born to you. To you. That's the message of Christmas. God sent His Son for you. Each and every one of you in this room, God has sent His Son to take your sins upon His shoulders. Well, I might be a sinner by the Bible definition, but I'm not any worse than my neighbor or some of the people in this church. I know some of their secrets. Well, you're going to the same hell. You're cut off from the same God. And let me tell you about the people sitting in here. Those who are following Christ, who are His disciples, their sins have been forgiven. God said, I've thrown them in the sea of forgetfulness, never to remember them anymore, never to bring them up. Who do you think you are to hold their sins against them? You're putting yourself in God's place. That's just a convenient excuse not to give up your life to Jesus Christ. How could you not trust a God who sent His Son into the world to die in your place? You know, the Christmas story is about this cute little baby. And we all like babies. Most of us do. And, you know, they're cuddly and we like to hold them. And they're so trusting and they look at us, you know, and it's just this miracle when we look at them. But this baby was born for a very unique purpose. When Mary was holding this baby and stroking his hair, she was rubbing the head of God. She was holding her Savior. And your Savior. That's the blessed gift of Christmas. The angel said a Savior has been born to you. Merry Christmas. God has sent you His Son. This is for you. He is God's gift for all who believe. As I said, the Bible says God was appalled. There was no one to intervene. So He supplied an intervener. Job called Him a daysman. A daysman is an umpire. Job said, oh, that there was a daysman to place one hand upon me and one hand upon the Lord and bring us together. A daysman is a party that represents both parties, and he doesn't represent one more than he does the other. He's not more on one side than he is the other. His job is to bring both parties together and to reconcile them. That's a daysman. And that's what Jesus Christ has come to do, to reconcile us back to the Father. And apart from Him, you cannot be reconciled. You cannot come to God. One of my favorite scriptures in Isaiah 55. I don't know how many times I've read this. In 30 years as a Christian, it still speaks to me because I still have these times in my life. It says, come all who are thirsty. Come to the waters, and you who have no money, come buy and eat. Come buy wine and milk without money and without cost. Why spend money on what is not bread, and your labor on what does not satisfy? Listen. Listen to me, and eat what is good, and your soul will delight in the richest of fare. Give ear and come to me. Hear me, that you may live. I will make an everlasting covenant with you, my faithful love, promised to David. I love that passage. And over the years, when I am thirsty, when I hunger for God, when things aren't going right, I can go read that. And there's such a comfort to me that God doesn't say, come the good looking. Come you who've never done anything wrong. He's appealing to a nation of backsliders in Israel. And God is saying, are you thirsty? Come to me. I have the real water. I have the bread that's going to give you eternal life. And God said, it's free. I'm not going to charge you for it. I paid the price. Why would any of us want to refuse an offer like that? I don't know how it was for you, but when I was in sin, I spent money and time trying to acquire things that I thought I wanted, and when I got them, I didn't like it. And I wasn't satisfied. I couldn't smoke enough pot and drink enough Jim Beam to be happy. I'm just being honest with you. That's the way my life was. And I thought, well, you got to get stoned to be at home in the world and to get along in this world. And even when I was stoned, I didn't like it. My life became so miserable that I became like Job. I cursed the day I was born. I wanted to die, but I was too scared to pull the trigger. That's how life was for me before I came to Christ. Everything the world offered to me was a lie. There wasn't any happiness or fulfillment in it. And one day I heard the call, God saying, come. Come to me. I'll give you life. I'll give you peace, not like the world gives. That's why the baby came. We love babies, but sometimes we hate tying the cross into this baby. We're thinking about babies, Rick. We don't want to think about the old bloody nasty cross and the suffering. Well, that's why he came. That's what the angel said. A Savior has been born. That's why the Magi went to see him. They understood. They said, this is the guy that's going to change the world. Satan knew who he was. I think Satan walked up to that crib and looked down and said, that's the guy. That's the one that come here to crush my head. And so he spent those 33 years that Jesus was ministering trying to stir trouble to keep people from coming to him. Thank God it didn't work. Not for everybody. This Christmas, as we're unwrapping our packages, as we're exchanging gifts and spending time with our family, we're eating big dinners, stop and think about the reason that we celebrate Christmas. It was because God so loved the world that he sent his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him would not have to perish but would have everlasting life. Another significant statement the angel makes about Jesus, you'll pass right over it if you don't stop and think about it. He said he is Christ, the Lord. So he said this Savior has been born in a regular way, in some sense, a regular way. He's the Savior, but he's also Christ the Lord. See, that elevates him above anybody else in history. Christ, the Greek is Christos. The Hebrew is Mashiach, Messiah. And they understood that. These shepherds understood exactly what that angel said. He's Mashiach. He's the anointed of God. The angel said, the anointed one has come. The Lord. Now that Lord is very significant. John said in the Gospel of John, the Word became flesh. Well, who's the Word? Well, in the beginning was the Word was with God, the Word was God himself. And the Word became flesh, and he lived among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. No one has ever seen God, but God, the one and only, who is at the Father's side, has made him known. You can't get any plainer in that, church. God, the Word, became a man, came into this world as a baby, grew up the same way we did, lived among us, experienced our humanity to the fullest extent. And then when the time was right, he went to a cross and bore your sins and my sins on that tree that we might be reconciled to God if we'll come to him. It doesn't mean you just believe in him. It means that you repent, you change your mind, you come to God on his terms. You submit to his baptism into Christ. And the Bible promises that you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Then and only then can you call him Father. That's what that baby came to do. It's no wonder the angels rejoiced. It's no wonder that Mary sang when she found out that she was carrying the Christ. It's no wonder that Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit and prophesied. Zacharias was filled with the Spirit and prophesied. For 400 years, God had been silent, and when he brought his Son into the world, things started happening, and they're still happening. God is still actively at work, seeking to reconcile you to himself. He didn't send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world might be saved through Him. Now, I was thinking about this week. When God came the first time, we call the first advent of Christ. That's what advent preaching means. You're talking about the coming of Christ. In the first advent, He came quietly, kind of incognito in some sense. When He comes back, He's coming back in a blaze of glory. Jesus said, as the lightning strikes in the east and shines to the west, that's how it'll be when I come back. Jesus said, the world will see the sign of the Son of Man in heaven. The heavens will rend apart, and Jesus will come with the angels. And it said, the tribes of the earth will mourn. He's coming back in a blaze of glory. He came in quietly the first time to save those who would believe. That's why the baby came. Now, you all know, I've told you this, Easter is still my favorite holiday because we get to talk about the empty tomb. But I love the little baby who became the man who took away my sins. Why don't you stand with me this morning? As we celebrate Christmas, I love Christmas. I love the exchanging of gifts and the family dinners. But remember why you're celebrating. And take time to stop and thank God for sending His Son and loving you so much. If you're here this morning and you've never received Christ as your Savior, I want to invite you to do that before you leave. Come up here and sit on the front row and we'll talk. If you're here this morning and you're away from Christ, don't make resolutions that I'm going to try to do this or try to get better at that. Throw yourself on His mercy. That's why He came. You need a Savior. I need a Savior. That's why He came. You can't do it by yourself. What's our song of invitation? Oh. Church. I want to read you what she's written here. Thank you for becoming my church family here in my new home in Mansfield. Everyone has made me feel welcome and has been so friendly. Thank you, Sister Jill. Our prayer request, I don't have any written before me. Just keep remembering those we've been praying for. Laramie Smith and his family. Pray for one another. Pray for me for these tests that God will have his way. Any other